Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Kyle, and welcome to Kyle's Conversations. We're going to talk about a whole myriad of things, from what went on in football this weekend to a little bit of politics to whatever. So stick around. The conversation begins right now. I say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. In Him I will trust. Psalms 91:2. Think about that as you're going through your day today. And welcome to Kyle's Conversations. Wow, what a turn of events in the Premier League. You know, I mean, who thought Manchester United would win? You know, who knew? I mean, and such a decisive win as it was, just never, I don't know, man. I mean, this is, to think that Manchester United would be 25 points in third, I wish for in third, I mean, eighth, and you have Arsenal in first with 35 points, Liverpool with 33, tied in second with Chelsea, then you got Manchester City at 32, Everton at 31, Newcastle United tied with Tottenham Spurs at 27 in sixth and seventh place. If you look, there's 10 points separating eighth place and first place. It is a close race, man. I think it's anyone's game. I mean, what's gonna happen? And it's exciting. I mean, even though we're not playing, I don't know whether it's the coach or the players aren't playing up to their potential, but it's just exciting. It's just exciting to. I think it's kind of neat to see teams like Newcastle United and stuff up there, you know, where they probably wouldn't be a lot. It's just good to, you know, because a lot of people look at Manchester United and that kind of deal like the Yankees, like, okay, what the heck is this? They actually scored? You know, someone actually scored against them, you know, so. And it's just one of those things that it makes you look at things and it's just neat. I mean, the next fixtures are actually December 21st. Yeah, Carford City and Liverpool. You got Crystal Palace and Newcastle United and Fulham and Manchester City and my Manchester United taking on West Ham United. That's going to be a good game. The way they're playing, Manchester United, every game is a good game. Cause, I mean, I look at this. You know, you got Stoke and Aston Villa. You got Sunderland and Norwich City. And West Bromwich versus Hull City. And what I see is almost like an any given Sunday type scenario where any team on Saturday can be any team, I think, right now in this league. Excuse me. And it's just one of those things that's my little football minute, because I love watching football and that's my one out. And I just, it's just crazy, because there's a girl that I go to Starbucks a lot, and there's a girl there that, she's like, oh, Lord, because I have my Manchester United, my Dimitar Verbeside jersey on, and have my Manchester scarf, and she lived in Singapore for many years, and she's a supporter of the Gunners. And what's amazing is she goes, I got to actually go see Manchester United back when they had David Beckham, and you don't think of it. Now you look at him like, wow, holy cow, I got to see David Beckham when he was with Manchester United back in the day, and now, but back then you're like, wow, you're seeing Manchester United, pretty cool, but now it's like, you know. So, it's, we always give each other heck about each other's teams and stuff, but one thing I want to, someone brought this to my attention, and this is something I'm going to bring up, is I get frustrated when people wrap socialism around the American flag, and since you don't support Obamacare, how can you be a constitutionalist? How can you support the Constitution? Da 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 da. No, that's not right. Lord, help me. How can I support the Constitution and be against Obamacare? How can I be an American when I don't want to give everyone health care? Well, I didn't think you were denied health care before Obamacare. I was the understanding when I went to the hospital, they would have to treat me. I mean, they probably now, I'm sure there's cases where people went there and they didn't treat them, but that's BS in my opinion. And it's just, I just don't get it. I don't know how any Christian can support Barack Obama. I don't know how any Christian can. He goes to church for 22 years and is married by a guy that preaches white genocide. From what we know about Barack Obama, if him and Michelle had died, Reverend Jeremiah Wright would have gotten his kids. He would have gotten his kids. He was that close to the Obamas. But magically, when all this stuff came out about how his church preaches white genocide and killing whites and their babies, he magically had no idea who the person was. Oh, I just went to church for 22 years, but I didn't pay attention. I don't know anyone that's going to take their kids to a church and not say, hey, what do we believe? What do we worship? What are my kids learning? Brian, I think it's his name, Brian, the guy that's the lead singer, was the lead singer of Korn, one day heard his kids singing one of their songs, and when he realized what that song was about, she was singing it, and, you know, he's like, wait a minute, this is not right. He's a Christian now. But he is, when he saw his daughter singing one of the songs, and when he knew what that song was about, he's like, that's not appropriate for my kid to be mimicking, and, you know, and he's become a Christian, and he's, it's amazing what God's done in his life, and it's just, how can you go for 22 years to a church and not know what they believe or what they're teaching your kids? Because their kids went there. He went. You know, but us as most idiot Americans, well, Obama said he didn't pay attention, so obviously he didn't know what was going on there. We have to believe him because he said it. This is my final little rant on this. And this is what I tell people. This is a takeoff of something Glenn Beck said, and this is my own version of it. Okay? America as a whole is a Boeing 747. And we're headed straight for the Sears Tower. We're all going to die. And you can have a choice. You want to have John McCain fly the plane. You want George Bush to fly the plane. You want John Boehner to fly the plane. You want Mitt Romney to fly the plane. You want Barack Obama to fly the plane. Hillary Clinton, Al Gore, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, any one of those. Put them, whichever one you want, to fly the plane. And which one do you think is going to steer us clear of the Sears Tower and keep us from being killed? I'll give you a few seconds to think about that. If you can tell me which one would do that. Because the honest answer is none of them. They would all leave it the way it is, and we would all go into the Sears Tower and we'd all die. Granted, Al Gore and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi would put the stick shift in overdrive and go really fast and slam into there really quick, and George Bush or John McCain or Mitch McConnell or one of them would pull the throttle back and slowly slam us into the Sears Tower. They would all take us to the same place. And that's what I try to get at. You got Republicans and Democrats, and you know who loses? You. You lose. And I just hate when people sit there and, well, look at what George Bush did, and he did all this stuff. I'm like, well, then the Democrats say it, then the Republicans say, well, look at what Barack Obama's done. Okay, let's say George Bush did this stuff. What makes it right for Barack Obama to do stuff? If it's wrong by one person, it should be wrong by both. How can it be fiscally irresponsible to spend in 2006 saying this Barack Obama, and now he's like, well, guess what? Now we need to eliminate the debt ceiling. I don't get it. Whatever. No, it's a double standard from both sides, and it just annoys me. Well, my book's doing real well. My cookbook has sold many, And I can't believe how I've had so many people talk about the cinematography of it, the actual photos of it, and I don't know if I talked about this on the show, but I'll talk about it now, because I love to buy DVDs, and I try to get the one that has, like, some additional stuff. And one of my all-time favorite movies, if not in my top 10 favorite movies, and I might give you my top 10, or at least some of them anyways, I love Die Hard. Die Hard's one of my all-time favorite movies. So this is a secure line. You better hang up, or I'm going to call the authorities. Well, call them. Send them down here. You know? That has some of the most... what does it sound like? I'm ordering a pizza? That's some of the greatest lines in any movie. One of my all-time favorite movies is Dead Poets Society. And actually, when I was in culinary school, we had a Dead Poets Society. And we'd read poetry from Jim Morrison to Walt Whitman, you name it. You know? And they had a little thing on there, like Masterclass, and it showed you how they did all these, how they made a mockery of the room, and they made like a mock setup of the room, kind of mockery, but a mock setup of the room, and in the mock setup of the room, they said, okay, now we're going to pretend it's this time of the day, and they had like 100 candlelight coming up here with 900 diffused with 70 here, and my photos look like crap, say me, so I'm like, well, let me get rid of the light and get, like, flood-type lights, and, you know, and take, like, a pie tin and make it into a cone, and you have a light inside, I have a bunch of those, and I started putting those in different directions, and I'd put, like, tape paper over some and do things, and everyone has commented, if you ever want to get out of this cooking, or you have a job, I guarantee it, in photography, those pictures are phenomenal. They didn't know I did it. They're like, well, if you ever do another book, or you maybe need to put some more pictures into this book, make sure you get the photographer. I'm like, who did the photos? I'm like, they're really good. Oh, they're incredible. Really? I did the photos. Nuh-uh. Holy cow. I can't believe I did the photos. And it's just, I just wanted to, because I was going to get a really good camera, and I just wanted to see what would happen, and I just let God take over, and man, he makes miracles, I'm telling you. But I can't believe how well it sounds, you know. It's, you know, more than I expected. I mean, I didn't expect even selling, you know, I figured, okay, you know, I'll make a couple copies, give one to my editor, give one to here, because my editor, Heather, I sent her a copy yesterday via the mail, and I made some Grand Marnier chocolate truffles and gave those to her and sent those out, so it was kind of fun doing that for her, and I sent to my sister in Michigan. I got a card from Shane, Oregon. She's doing good, so I mean, life's doing pretty good right now for me anyways, you know, just this weather just stinks, because it's like 20 feet of snow, and it's, at least it's staying cold, and it's not like hot cold, because I hate that when it goes from like 50 degrees to 40, you know, and I've lived in Vermont, so I've been to where it gets to the point where when it's like 40 degrees, you'll be wearing like t-shirt, because it's been so hot. Because it's been like minus 40 degrees below zero, and it's so cold that when it gets to 40, it's like so hot. It's like I used to help my dad on construction sites, and you'd sit there, and it'd be funny, because you'd go into the bathroom, and it'd be in one of those portal lights, and it'd be like free, you'd be like 900 degrees in there, and then when you get out, it'd be like cool, because you're so used to that hot, because the portal would be so hot that when you came out, it was a temperature change like 20 degrees, and you're like, oh, it's cool. But it's just, I mean, thank God for my parents, because they let me use their Suburban, because I have a Mustang, and I wouldn't be going nowhere. I'd be stuck. And one day, I'm like, no one's calling in sick, because I got my mom's Suburban. I'll pick someone up. And about that time, about three people said the same thing. Well, I've got this car. I'll go pick people up. And now, if I can make it here, and there are people that will take like a Honda Civic, and they'll come from like 30 miles away, you know. And if they make it into work, anyone can make it into work. So it's kind of funny because, like, I'm like, if I can be here, anyone can be here. Don't give me that excuse. And I've stayed over at work before. I'm like, I'd never do that. Some people are like, I'd never do that. I'm like, well, when a bad storm was coming, and they let me leave early, and I went home and got some clothes and stuff, and I stayed in an aisle place and got like a 12-pack of beer and drank, and we were sitting out on one of the third deck porches, and it was blizzarding with beer. It's great. I mean, I'm not going to have the opportunity that many times to have that nice of a place and stay for a couple days. Because I worked at 11, so I'd get up at like 8 and 8:30, go down and kitchen, make myself breakfast, bring it back, and watch Matlock and WGN. And it was fun. So, that was, I mean, some people wouldn't do that, but I mean, that's the dedication I had to my job and what I do. I mean, I'm not where I am because I make $1 million, you know. So it's just what I do, you know. That's what I love. It's my passion. I just care for people. I just don't want anyone to go through, you know. And it's just, I guess, I want to give back because I know they've given for us, you know. I mean, if you put money into Social Security, you want to get some of that money you put in back. You want to know that it's there. I don't want to know that my money is going to somebody else and I'll never see my money. You know? But I think we're headed for a pretty bad winter. I think it's going to be really, really bad, just snow-wise and stuff. And we'll see how this goes. I mean, Farmer's Almanac doesn't look too promising on that front, but I like the Farmer's Almanac. I read it, it's the truth, man. You know, Farmer's Almanac says it's time to start planting. Time to start planting. So, it's just, I set my trust and I go by. And if it says it's going to be a mild winter, it gives me it. If it says it's going to be pretty bad, it is. So, I'm just kind of here, you know, just, life just goes by so, like, May is going to be my 20th high school reunion. I mean, when I did my Chronicle of the Arts and History Drums, it was just something that I could not believe how long it's been since I've been in high school. And since I graduated culinary school, too. And it's just like, when you go through all those books and all the classes you took and everything, it's just insane. So, it's just crazy that life just goes by so fast, and I'm like the king of love. I'm not going to mention any names just because I don't feel it's appropriate, but I believe if you have to pay for a dating site, internet site, I kind of believe that those are scams. I really do. I mean, I was on one site for 6 years, had over 1,000-plus matches and had no communications with anybody. And you can say, let's say I didn't communicate with any of them. I didn't try to. That means 1,080 didn't try to communicate with me either. So I did write a couple people, and, you know, and you got to the point where getting to the open communication after you ask each other questions, it went from getting to open communication was hard enough to getting to the point where just to getting someone to even write you a first question, you know, it got to that point where it's like, okay, well, just to get even someone to say hello to you was swimming up. And I look at it in the light of, if I took how much money I spent over those 6 years, and went, no, I'm Maritime, so I forgot I even was on the site. And next thing you know, it's like, okay, you get a thing saying, here's your monthly rebill. Like, oh, crap. And I finally just gave up on it. I wrote to him. I said, I don't even know if your site works, because I've never met anyone to see if any of the things that you believe in are real. Well, maybe you can do this or that. I'm like, I've been there, done that. Excuse me. I mean, if I can get my money back, sure. I mean, and one of my friends says, well, it's probably it's with there. It's a computer. You know, not that everybody on their stake, but, you know, but wait, if you have to pay to use a site, let's say, if I have to pay to use a site, you'll get a bunch of people wanting to talk to you, and as soon as they want to talk to you, you find out, well, let me see here. As soon as they want to talk to me, you find out, well, okay, you pay, and then you never hear from anybody. And it's just their way of getting you hooked into the getting a membership, and as soon as you get a membership, bang. You know, I kind of agree that that can be the case, that unless you don't have anybody interested in you, and you paid for it, but before you paid, you had thousands of people wanting to talk to you. I mean, you live with someone that's bipolar, like I did for 5 years. I have a hard time trying to be in a relationship. I mean, it's been probably 8 years. This Christmas, I think, 8 years since I've been in a relationship. But when you deal with the stuff I've been through, and, you know, I don't want someone running my life or trying to own me. No, I'm done if that's the case. And I don't want that. And it's something that when you live with someone that's bipolar, you understand what I'm talking about things where they're perfectly happy women, and next minute they want to stab you in. And when you know them as a nice person, and then all of a sudden, Lord help you, it just makes you go, wait a minute. Because I can't help somebody if you go to try to get a car or try to look at one, and the guy can't help you, and you come home and you're crying for 4 hours. At first you think it's, you know, her Aunt Flo came. And then when you realize that it starts to get more and more frequent, and you find out what the issue is, you sit there and you go, okay, now this is all right, because it's unless they take their medication all the time and do a bunch of stuff, I mean, you almost have to find something that they can eat every single day for the rest of their life and sneak a pill in there somehow. You know, because they think you're fine, so they don't want to take it, and yada, 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 and all this stuff, so it's just, yeah, I'm always afraid that that's going to, well, look, this girl seems nice, but 2 years into it, it's when I found out all this stuff started to make sense, all these, you know, that it's not an airflow coming, it's, you know, issues that she had, and it's just, no one's perfect. But it is so hard to live with someone that's bipolar. It really is. So, and I'm not that outgoing of a dude, you know. I'd probably be more outgoing on this radio show than I am anything else. For my 2 viewers that I have, like 1 or 2 viewers, 3 viewers off and on, so it varies. But, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, people that like, well, I know people that will date like 7 people in a year, and they'll be like, well, you know, I'm not outgoing. I just, you know, and it's like, okay, well, you dated how many people? So it's just one of those things that you look and you go, wait a minute here. I don't know. I mean, I guess if I said that I had a hard time, you know, meeting, you know, like dating or whatever, I would not be someone that would be saying that if I had like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 girlfriends in 1 year, you know, okay? If you go more than a year without having someone in talk to you, then you can relate. Then you can say, okay, I live with someone in 5 whole women. And it's just one of the things that... It's just one of those things that you look at life and so many different lights. And, you know, I guess I try to be a person that, you know, that I guess because of the things that I've gone through in relationships I have with women, I don't want that on anybody. I don't want, you know, I guess I'd rather not have anybody even deal with that type of thing. And it's just, you know, I just, these people that like, well, I'm not outgoing and I'm shy and I'm this and that. And I'm like, okay, well, you've had like 25 girls this year? Wow. Okay. I got a number. I'll hook that up with you. Let me tell you something. You'll think twice about relationships. You'll think about them differently. And so it's just, and some people tell me, oh, you just need to go get over it, move on, and da-da-da. And it's like, you know, things I'm not going to talk about that have that happened. It's not that simple. I mean, if you ever saw, if you ever heard the song by, 7.5 brick, you know, I relate to that, not knowing. But, anywho, I just, honestly, if it was me, I wouldn't trust. If it's a free date site, sure. But I think they're all scams, because I've known so many people, oh, yeah, you'll get 50 people wanting you when you're not a member, but as soon as you become a member, then Lord forbid, no one even be near you. So, who knows? I just know my experience when I was on one for 6 years and had like 1,000+ matches and went nowhere and, you know, I just gave up. I love my wife. I mean, I don't have a girlfriend, but it doesn't mean I'm not happy. I am, you know, and that's what you got to be. You got to love yourself before you can love anyone else. And I'm at the point now where I love myself and I can still do. And I do what I do. And that's who I am. I'm not going to change, you know. If it wasn't for God, I don't know where I'd be. I wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for God. And, I mean, that at the end of the thing I said, you know, that cookbook's God. I mean, I was going to buy a way better camera. If you knew what camera I used on those photos in my cookbook, you'd crap, because my mom thought I bought that, like, $600 camera I was going to buy, but I ended up not doing it. So I got about 20 seconds left here, so I'm just going to wrap up. You know, stay away from dating sites that you have to pay, because I guarantee they're a scam. Guarantee it. And just live your life, man. Just go full bore. Don't have any regrets. And goodbye. God bless.